Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. The release of the Iraq Study Group report has caused concern among peace groups that the Bush administration will simply reject what the report says about a new focus on diplomacy and implement only the corporate aspects of the report, and they invite the further privatization of Iraq's oil reserves. The group's findings on oil have been widely ignored by major U.S. media outlets, but our guest this time, Nancy Lessen, has not missed the implications. Lessen is the co-founder of the group Military Families Speak Out, MFSO.org. Her group is devoted to the task of bringing U.S. troops home from Iraq. Nancy Lessen, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
It's great to be here.
Let me ask you first about the military situation in Iraq, if you think of it in those terms at this point. It seems the U.S. military has gone through some contortions in terms of how it's been described by the White House now, even talking about success versus failure. How does that strike you first?
Well, I think from the very beginning, Military Families Speak Out began before this war started back 4 years ago when there were two families who saw, what was coming down the pike. And in my family's case, our son was on his way over. We were speaking out then to try to prevent what we felt was an illegal, immoral, unjust, unjustifiable invasion of Iraq. And we thought at that time that our loved ones, should this war happen, they would be used as cannon fodder in a war that was really about oil markets and dreams of empire and had nothing to do with what they signed up for in the military, which is protection of the Constitution and the country. So we've certainly watched all the different, rationales, weapons of mass destruction, supposed links between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, all of that, go away, and we've had the, we're going to bring democracy. And, the reality is what we were afraid of 4 years ago has absolutely come to pass, and we have an absolute bloodbath and chaos and death and destruction. We're coming up on 3,000 U.S. troops will have died in the near future. That number will be reached, and we're looking at 655,000 Iraqi children, women, and men. And we're looking at the chaos and the violence escalating now, escalating.
Let me ask you about the tone of the media right now when it comes to the findings of the Iraq Study Group. Do you feel, first of all, that the media has informed us about the details of their report?
Not really, and we're just, I'm on page 84. So the media keeps kind of referring to this as something that is a legitimate way forward, and we see this very distinctly as the way sideways. It's not moving out of Iraq. It's, in fact, paving the way for long-term U.S. military presence in Iraq. And, going back to the beginning, the war should never have happened. Right? It was wrong for the U.S. to invade Iraq. It's wrong for the U.S. to be occupying Iraq. In fact, the occupation is the problem. It's not the solution. And there's no right way to do a wrong thing. And there are three key things that we've been talking about in the report, the first one being the call for diplomatic efforts with other countries in the region. And our concern about that is that the U.S. has, little or no credibility in the region because of the invasion of Iraq and because of the continued military occupation. And now it wants to reach, hands out while planning to continue indefinitely the military occupation of Iraq. And so, there's real concerns there. The second is that the report says in so many places about the need to, I'll paraphrase, but talk tough to the Iraqi government as if the Iraqi government, is not stepping up to the plate, is not taking responsibility, is a slacker. And the fact is, the Iraqi government isn't the problem. The problem is the U.S. military occupation. And as long as the U.S. is occupying Iraq, the chaos and violence is going to continue and escalate. And in fact, this notion of, you know, the U.S. military occupation can't stand down until the Iraqi military and army stand up. Well, what we really believe is that there is no way for the Iraqi presence to be able to stand up as long as the occupation is there. So that's a very wrong, you know, conclusion. And, you know, the real problem is the Bush administration that started a war based on lies and Congress that's been complicit. And the tough talk needs to be directed at this administration and at Congress, and we don't think that that happened nearly enough. And then the other point that the report calls for is this gradual withdrawal of some combat troops. But the reality is every troop in Iraq is a combat troop. There is violence all around. The combat is all around, whether you're on the road, on a base, you know, in your mess tent in Mosul. It's everywhere. There is no safe place. And so, you can call it what you will. When they embed troops, you know, everybody's in combat. And the idea that they're going to, you know, withdraw some troops and leave other ones there really means that those remaining are at greater risk. And we don't think that partial withdrawal of troops makes any sense if it's not part of a concerted effort of safely and quickly removing all troops from Iraq, and that would be the best thing for our troops, the nation, and the people of Iraq, is to get the U.S. troops out. So, you know, in general, we think that this, you know, this report is damage control for the Bush administration, and it's providing cover for congressional races in 2008, and what it's not doing is ending the war. And the real way forward is to end the occupation, bring all of our troops home, and take care of them when they get here. And we do believe that the U.S. owes a big responsibility to the people of Iraq, but that's not in the form of a military occupation. It's not in the form of Halliburton and the Carlyle Group. It's in the form of real funds to help with the rebuilding that they need to do.
We're speaking with Nancy Lesson, co-founder of Military Families Speak Out. Before we change subjects here to talk more about what your organization has been doing to try to bring the troops home, let me ask you, Nancy Lessing, to talk about the corporate aspects of what is in that report that you have just received from the Iraq Study Group.
I mean, I was just getting to those pages, and I was just in a conversation with some others on this, so I can't, you know, totally speak to it. But it seemed to me on pages, you know, I think it's 83 to 86 when they talk about, you know, what should happen with the oil sector. You know, it struck me as, you know, the ghost of Bremer future. And that this is really, you know, if anything can tell us that this war was really about oil, I think it's those pages that come out and admit it and talk about how to, you know, manage the oil sector and, you know, big free market economy and roles for investment. And, you know, it just kind of fits into what we were concerned about 4 years ago. And I'll say my husband Charlie Richardson and I, in our other life, we're active in the labor movement, and one of the ways that we were looking upon the invasion of Iraq, it was like we had, you know, long concerns about corporate globalization, and this looked like it was going the next step to armed globalization, you know, for corporate interests. And reading these pages of the report, it's bringing it all back home.
Right. They're not negotiators per se, although Lawrence Eagleburger was the former ambassador to Yugoslavia, and he has served in various capacities that are certainly political as an advisor here to presidents and so on. But in terms of the diplomatic side, these are more foreign policy makers for America than they are diplomats, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, the work that, you know, we would have liked the the press, the mainstream media, to do is, who are all of these people on the Iraq study group, and what are their investments and relationships? And, you know, let's put it out there. You know, this group of people who have come together to write this report are not disinterested bystanders when it comes to, you know, corporate America and those interests. And so that's, you know, another thing we didn't see. But I think, you know, I will say, you know, overall that we do feel that there is a way forward. And the way forward right now is, you know, the November 2006 elections, I think, set up the way forward. And it was made clear, should have been made clear to Congress, that the issue in this election was the war, and that the people of this country and the majority expect Congress to take action to end the war, and that Congress needs to use the power that it has, which is the power of the purse, and the real way forward, we believe, is for Congress to end the U.S. military occupation of Iraq by cutting off funds for the war and by bringing all of our troops home now. And there's been concern about that. It's there's concern out there that, oh, dear, we can't cut off funding for the troops. The money for the war isn't money for the troops. There is ample money in the pipeline already to get the troops out quickly and safely with the armor they need, with the food and water and supplies and equipment they need. So we think the greatest thing that could happen to support our troops is to get them home and take care of them when they get here.
You're listening to Talk Nation Radio. Nancy Lessing, one of the things that I did want to mention is a report from Antonio Yuhas, who was on Democracy Now! This morning. This is, we're speaking December 8th, and she told Amy Goodman about the corporate side of the Iraq Study Group report and the fact that it was, in a lot of ways, a call to foreign investors to, you know, start over again, if you will, and redraft those kinds of documents and corporate agreements that will keep them able to control Iraqi oil.
That's exactly what I think pages 83 to 86 are speaking about.
And so one of the points that she had made, too, is that, you know, the Iraqi study group head, James Baker, is heavily invested in oil, as you were saying. He has a long history of involvement with Mideast oil brokers.
Yes.
The failure was so obvious in the policy from the get-go when it comes to the strategy of going in and protecting the oil and putting troops there to do that and then setting up bases to protect the oil, permanent bases, really, to try to protect and control the flow of oil. But we've seen devastating results, and one can only wonder why the White House and Congress, members of Congress who are receiving this information, might wish to consider more of the same. I mean, it seems to me that we have clear evidence that these policies are not going to stand.
We would like people to see that, but one of the issues that we see as military families whose loved ones have been over there or are over there right now or have been wounded or have come back with severe post-traumatic stress disorder only to be sent over again or, you know, have died as a result of this war, that one of the issues we see very clearly is that all of those making decisions about the war have very little personal at stake here. I mean, one of the things we said at the very beginning prior to the war is that when the drumbeats for invasion of Iraq were getting deafening, we noticed that those who were saying, we got to go to war, they weren't going anywhere, nor were their loved ones. And the urgency that we feel about what's happening, you know, every single day, now on average, four U.S. troops this month alone, on average, four U.S. troops. But it, you know, it breaks down differently. You know, 11 were killed yesterday, and then on December 4th, there were 7 killed. On December 3rd, there were 7 killed. I mean, 30 this month alone in just these 7 days. And there were over 300 Iraqi children, women, and men killed in those 7 days, 10 times as many as U.S. troops. The carnage and the bloodshed and the chaos and the killing is going on, and it's escalating. And for military families in this country, you know, these are our loved ones, and every day counts. And I think what we have in Congress, there may be, you know, 7, give or take, who have, you know, a relative or a loved one in the military out of 535. It's just an academic exercise. And for us, it's, you know, life and death of our family members and really of the soul of this nation, the longer we continue something that should never have happened in the first place.
I'm wondering how you feel about the rest of the country and the citizens here. I've asked myself recently whether or not Americans would support continued military operations in Iraq if it were to secure oil, if that were in the open, and if they knew that the consequence of not doing so could be higher oil prices, perhaps less access to oil, perhaps less of an empire when it comes to controlling oil. If those were the choices, bring the troops home, end the war, and you know, pay the price of perhaps not having the same level of convenience we're used to, would they go for bringing the troops home, do you think? Do you get that sense about your country?
Let me say a couple things. First of all, when we started speaking out, and there were 2 military families in the beginning that started this organization, we're now, you know, over 3,100 military families. But when we were 2 military families back in the fall of 2002, the polls were saying that 70% of people in this country favored a U.S. invasion of Iraq, and now we're over 60% of the people in the country saying this war was wrong and it needs to end. And so that's really heartening. You know, we can look at the issue of deaths, and, you know, less than 1% of the population in this country are military families. So those deaths are very close to us and very removed from the rest of the people, not to mention the fact of the hundreds of thousands of Iraqi deaths that are very removed. But this war has a price tag for us all. And this issue of, you know, paying more or less for oil, I think would have to be counterbalanced with the fact that the war is being deficit spent, and it's really our grandchildren that are going to be paying. And we're looking at costs of, you know, numbers I can't even comprehend, $1 trillion. $2 trillion. Now, if everybody was faced with the monthly price tag for paying the war, every month every person in this country gets the bill for their contribution to this war, I actually think that would wake people up, because we are paying for it. We are all paying for it, but just not out of our checkbooks. It's really our grandchildren.
Americans do, you know, in some ways see through things now to know that the war in Iraq is futile when it comes to their own interests, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple things that are put out there, and I think the mainstream media kind of does a good job of saying, well, you know, if we leave, things will descend into chaos and a bloodbath and civil war, when the reality is that chaos and bloodbath and civil war is what reigns right now. I don't think anyone can say exactly what things will look like, you know, when we do leave, but we can say exactly what they'll look like if we stay. And that's what we're seeing, an escalation of death and violence. And I actually think that the way for Iraq to get a grip on what they need to do will only happen when the U.S. occupying forces are gone. Then they can unite, then they can deal with getting people out that are hurting their own folks. But as long as there's an occupying force, that's what's kind of uniting a resistance. And the real beginning of a solution is the ending of the U.S. military occupation.
What is it like when you bring these boots and crosses and set them up in memory of fallen soldiers? Just tell us about some of your impressions from that journey you've been on.
Well, let me tell you about one of the things we did about 6 months ago. It was June 15th when both houses voted to stay the course in Iraq after a very brief mock debate. It was also the day that the 2,500th troop death occurred. And what we decided to do then was actually move into Washington, D.C. with a group of military families and with boots that would represent U.S. troops who were killed since they voted to stay the course. And we'd have shoes representing Iraqi children, women, and men who have been killed since that June 15th vote. And we set up a vigil right outside the Cannon House office building, and we wanted to show them exactly what staying the course looked like. And so each day, for every troop death that occurred, we set out a new pair of combat boots. And each day, for the Iraqis who were killed, we set out pairs of shoes. You know, we started out on June 11th with 11 pairs of combat boots and shoes representing maybe 140 Iraqi children, women, and men. And we stayed there for 6 weeks, adding boots and shoes. When we left, because Congress recessed, we had over 80 pairs of combat boots. I think it was 82 pairs of combat boots representing 82 troop deaths, and shoes representing well over 1,000 Iraqi children, women, and men. And adding those boots every day. And the families that were with us were families who had loved ones in Iraq whose lives were in danger. The next pair of boots could have been their loved ones. We were with families whose loved ones had died as a result of the war and families whose loved ones were about to redeploy. And it is very painful, but it is also very powerful. And we were able to engage members of Congress and senators with this daily vigil and daily demonstration. So I think that the visual of the boots, and it was the American Friends Service Committee that lent us the boots and shoes, so thanks to them we were able to do this. And we were also able to engage members of the public about, you know, what was going on. Many things happened during those 6 weeks, but one of them was there were Marines who were training, and they would be running through, you know, the Capitol District, and we got more thumbs-up signs from the Marine Corps as they were practicing their running, and there was a lot of support for what we were doing, so that was excellent.
Can you recall any of the members that talked with you or any of those events?
We had visits with over 60 of them during those 6 weeks, and we would bring in with us two pairs of combat boots and just set them on the table as we had our discussion. And we would begin by saying, these boots represent the, on average, two U.S. troops who have died today. And our question to them was, when are they going to take action to end this? And if they're not, you know, whose names are they willing to attach to these boots?
Powerful statement. Were there any members of Congress who said something memorable to you that gave you a little bit of hope?
Well, yeah, actually. One in particular who brought us lemonade said, don't think you're not making a difference. They're talking about you in the halls. And, you know, we know that we have, you know, a unique and powerful voice. And we think getting the Congress now to cut off funding for the war is going to be an uphill battle. But what we believe very strongly is that it's never really been a politician who's ended a war. It's been a social movement. And we're in the process of building, you know, the strongest movement we can of military families speaking out against the war that will fit within a very large and broad social movement against the war, and then Congress will eventually have to end it. It was August of 2003 when Veterans for Peace and Military Families Speak Out and some others got together, and we made our campaign. It was shortly after George Bush had said, bring them on. That was his response as he was sitting in his very guarded location in the White House. And that's when we decided to do a campaign of our own, and we called it Bring Them Home Now. And very few were in our corner at that point in time. And now, This is 3 years later, and we're seeing many, 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 both decision makers in Washington, D.C., but also, you know, groups and people throughout the country coming to the position that that's what needs to happen. They need to be brought home, and it needs to be now. And so having seen that transformation, right now, as, you know, we're saying we want Congress to cut off funding for the war, we think that while there's not a whole lot in Congress right now over in that corner, we intend to move them to that place, and we know that the larger movement will be helping do just that.
No one could really say to you the kinds of things that they said to some other peace groups, and, you know, unfair as those things might be, they couldn't really say them to your group effectively, right? Because you had troops in Iraq, and you were there supporting them, certainly, but trying to get them home.
People have told us that we're dishonoring our loved ones and that sort of thing. But, you know, to tell a family member whose loved one is over there that they're not supporting the troops is pretty pathetic. And, you know, when we speak at events like that, you know, one of the first things we do is we thank everybody who's there and say, you know, this is such a fabulous support the troops rally, because we believe that real support of the troops, you know, is, first of all, never sending them off into a war based on lies. But, you know, should that happen, bringing them home now and taking care of them when they get here. And certainly that's what the larger movement has been right in step calling for and doing.
Nancy, listen, your son came home in 2005, is that right?
He's my stepson. He's my husband Charlie Richardson's son. And he was over there in the early phase of the war. So he was in the spring of 2003. And he is home. He's now out of the Marines. He finished his 8 years. You know, one of the things that people say to me is, isn't it great to have him home safe and sound? And from what we know in terms of what's going on there, there's no serviceman or woman who will come home safe or sound. They have all been exposed to things that can put them at risk for decades to come, whether it's, you know, the psychological traumas that can cause post-traumatic stress disorder or exposure to depleted uranium or other things. So there's a price to be paid for this war above and beyond, you know, what people are thinking about.
Information I know is available on your website about what you just said. Why don't you tell us where we can find your organization on the World Wide Web?
Okay, our website is www.mfso.org. That's the initials for Military Families Speak Out, and we invite all military families who are opposed to the war, who have loved ones in the military or have had loved ones in the military during this period of the Iraq War, to go on the website and consider joining your voice to ours. We get new members joining every day. We have now 34 chapters around the country, and we intend to really focus on members of Congress, both by going to Washington, D.C., but also in their home districts and in states, you know, looking at the Senate and the senators. And our voice is going to grow as we grow in numbers. So do please consider joining.
Nancy Lessen, congratulations on making such a difference. And I know we'll be hearing more from you about the Iraq Study Group report in the coming weeks. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Nancy Lessen co-founded Military Families Speak Out with her husband, Charlie Richardson. You will find them online at mfso.org. You can read the Iraq Study Group report at the United States Institute for Peace, usip.org. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. Talk Nation Radio is produced in the studios of WHUS, Radio for the People at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNation.org and TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts and discussion. Our music is by Fritz Heed, fritzheed.com.